my brother was sharing, you know, oftentimes we hear, we believe, if you know, we believe God is speaking through His Word. God is giving us this preceding Word. God is speaking to us now. But the question is, what do we do with the Word that God gives us? You know, all right, let's talk about this, okay? All right, so I want to share three things with you. But before I do that, I just want to declare the prophetic word for 2018. And that's something that's going to help us to align our thoughts, align our efforts, and adjust our frequency so that we can hit it hard together. You know, okay, this is so silly, but I'm just going to share this anyway. You know, with Sophia, I started doing this little thing where can you help me? Can you give me knuckles? Knuckles, and I do this. Alright? So I always see her and I do this. Both hands, by the way. And then do this. Alright, both of us. And I don't even know where that comes from anyway. So we started doing that, and I realized, man, there must be something spiritual about this, right? So it just occurred to me, I was like, oh man, you know, this stands for unity, and this stands for power. And I said, you know, if you have unity, you have strength. You have no unity, you have no strength.
Right.
So we want to keep things together in unity in the spirit, so that the whole church can be aligned, so that we can work in the Lord, so that we can do what God has assigned His church. I hope that God is working in each of our hearts, different level, different areas, and different things, but ultimately God is bringing us together. I want to read that, or I want to declare it, if I can find it. And I'll get you to verbalize that with me as well. I'll say it out first. Why is it always hard to find when you really need it? Do we have it on the screen? Do we have it? Wow, it's like vanished. Oh, here we go. I got it. Don't worry. Okay. Strategic man of stature. Position in prophetic precision, creating significant moves. Our God reigns. Heavens are open for spirit demonstration, empowering His people to do an impregnable work. Let's verbalize this together. Strategic man of stature.
Strategic man of stature.
Position in prophetic precision.
Position in prophetic precision.
Creating significant moves.
Creating significant moves.
Our God reigns.
Our God reigns.
Heavens are open.
Heavens are open.
For spirit demonstration.
Spirit demonstration.
Empowering His people. To do an impregnable work.
To do an impregnable work.
Impregnable work is a work that cannot be stopped. Amen? And it's something that God starts, and no powers of hell can prevail against it. One more time. Strategic man of stature.
Strategic man of stature.
Position in prophetic precision.
Position in prophetic precision.
Creating significant moves.
Creating significant moves.
Our God reigns.
Our God reigns.
Heavens are open.
Heavens are open.
Spirit demonstration.
Spirit demonstration.
Powering His people.
Empowering His people.
To do an impregnable work.
To do an impregnable work.
Let me just readjust what Bella said. The strategic man, God is not just looking for one person. God is looking for all of us here in this room to be strategic in where God places you. The best way to see this is when you play chess, when you move one pawn or one piece, chess piece, right? Whatever it is, you move it with you have a purpose behind which why you're moving that little soldier there. Your intention, the strategy, the approach, the intention is to achieve a goal, which is to win. Right? You don't move to lose. Right? Okay. Some of you never played chess. I think so. Alright, chess is this strategic game, you know, you battle one another, you've got like your sort of armies, and then you sort of advance your troops and try to go to the other line and checkmate, you know, like corner the king. No? Okay? You want to corner the devil? So we're going to corner the devil, but we have to be strategic. That means every move that we make is strategic. Every move that we make is intentional. It's purposeful, for a reason. Not random, not because I feel like it, not because I have the ability, because I have the skills. It's very intentional, but it must be God intended, not man intended. Amen?
Yeah.
Alright, so what I want to share with you this morning is three things. Maybe we'll verbalize it together, and then we will just... everybody say, shout of the Lord.
Shout of the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
And the voice of the Lord.
The voice of the Lord.
One more time. The shout of the Lord.
The shout of the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
And the voice of the Lord.
The voice of the Lord.
One of the things that I think you'll be hearing a lot more now as we've been hearing, in fact, is the shout of the Lord. You see, the shout of the Lord is not just God's shout, but it's going to become your shout and my shout too. Let me just read a few scriptures from the Bible about the shout. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. So this is what it says, For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, I'll read that again. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a
shout,
with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. When Jesus returns, he returns with a shout.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, heaven's activities are not soft. Turn to Revelation chapter 4. Chapter 5, sorry. This is the activity in heaven, alright? I'm not trying to stir you up to give shouts and things like that, but there is something in the spirit that allows the roar of God to rise from within our hearts. Look at this. Chapter 5, verse 11, 12. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. Right? There were many voices. The living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Can you imagine the multitudes of angels, the myriads of angels, like what we read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12? Verse 12 says this, same with a loud voice. Not with a soft voice, but with a loud voice. What are they saying? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And then the four living creatures said, amen.
Amen.
And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever.
Amen.
This is the worship in heaven.
Yeah.
Worship in heaven is not soft. I'm not saying that we have to be noisy and we have to shout all the time. You know, there are many dimensions of worship. But I'm telling you that there are activities in heaven, and it's not soft. Shout. Loud. It's because it's from their heart. It's coming from within. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
You see, when we talk about shout, or when we talk about singing it loud, it's not a hype that we are wanting people. It's the fact that, like, I think this is the best way we can explain this. Like, when you look at people in general, right? In other things that they do, like let's say they play sports or they watch something or they talk about something, They talk about what happened. They talk about their holidays. When you look at them speak with the excitement and passion, and when they're trying to convey or explain, this is what I went through. I went to France, and I went there, and I saw all these places. And you want to share it in such a way that as if the person could see and feel where you were. I don't know. Do you do that? I think we do that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, when you watch something you really like, and you just feel like you want to talk about it and talk to people, and you laugh and you talk loud. You don't talk soft. You don't say, there's some excitement with it, right?
Yeah.
Right. And so I found that, you know, it's interesting how we get so excited about things outside the church, but when it comes to church, we're all very holy and holding our Bibles and standing in our corner, or we praise Jesus, and we're very shy and we don't want to, if the things of the world can create some excitement, how much more should the things of God create excitement in us?
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. The passion, it's called passion, it's called zeal. It's not nothing else.
Right.
So I want to encourage you this morning, the Word of God, when it comes to us, it creates that.
Yeah.
It needs to create that in us.
Yeah.
The Word of God must come to us like it's really giving us life, and we have such a desire to talk about it. So that when we come and talk about it, it's not something like, Jesus is very good, you know. No, Jesus is very good because He is good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
I mean, you can't say, like something like this. What's this song? Na, na, na. Let us shout hallelujah. Right? If you're singing that, you can't be singing it like half dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it does not express the feeling, the emotion, the message of the song is not there. You know, because if you say, let us shout hallelujah, it's because He is great, because He is good, because, wow, I stand in awe.
Yeah.
You know, you can't stand in awe like you couldn't be bothered. You know, if you're like, God, I stand in awe of You, but you look like you're bored, that doesn't match. You know, I'm not saying you're doing this morning. I'm not saying it. All I'm trying to convey to you is that, you know, when we talk about the shout that's coming from within, when we talk about this passion that comes from within, it's from the Spirit, it's from our hearts.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to capture.
Yeah.
And some of these things is better caught than taught. We can tell people, hey, look a bit more excited, or say amen and shout aloud and do this. But you can't teach these things, because you can't teach someone how to encounter the Lord. They need to encounter the Lord.
Yeah.
You can tell them, well, you need to say this sinner's prayer, you need to love God, but at this point in time, it is just instruction.
Yeah.
They don't feel it until they experience it.
Yeah.
We are not born again because we are taught to be born again. We are born again because something happened in our heart and that changed us.
Yeah.
That's born again.
Yeah.
It's not taught. It's experience. You have to experience the born again experience. So it's the same way for everything that we do when we talk about the shout of the Lord. Let's turn to a couple more scriptures here. Joshua, just a quick one here. Joshua chapter 3. Sorry, no, not quite. Chapter 6. Just read the instructions that were given to the people. This is what they did. From verse 1 to about verse 7. Alright? Now Jericho was... So remember, now the people of God coming out of the wilderness. They're going now. God is telling them to move in. And they encountered this city called Jericho, and this is what's happening here. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days." And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of rams and horns and before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Okay, so this was God's instruction to the people to march around the city, and after all the numbers that they're supposed to, all the instruction, the trumpets and the marching and everything comes forth, they're supposed to
shout.
Shout. Okay? So they're supposed to shout, and when they shout, what happens?
The walls.
The walls come down. Alright? Turn to the book of Mark, one last scripture here. Chapter 10. Where's my mind, my dear? My fighting is hiding. What is it? Verse 46. Now in Joshua, what did we just read? We read about Jericho, right? Yeah?
Yeah.
Alright, Jericho, yeah? Now verse 46, and they came to Jericho. Oh. Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, Go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight, and followed Jesus on the road. Now I want you to see that we read about Jericho, how Jericho fell, and here we're in Jericho again, and here this blind Bartimaeus is crying out to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when people ask him to stay quiet, shh, you're a disgrace, be quiet, who do you think you are? What are you trying to do? You know? But he didn't listen to those voices. But he cried out all the more. Amen?
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 Amen.
So there's a cry because why? He's desperate. He needs healing. But I want you to see that in this place, Jericho here, it's a picture of walls coming down so that you can experience a breakthrough. Amen? So it's important to see that the shout of the Lord and your shout, when we start to shout as the church and use that as a weapon of warfare, it is a powerful weapon to pull down strongholds and to pull down the limitations of the enemy and the walls that are keeping the people from entering and leaving. Things that are keeping people bound. And so, if we can connect with the shout of God, and the shout of God is in us, there's a theory that, you know, if you take a glass, right? I don't think it's very easy to achieve, but it's doable. If you have glass, and I think it depends the kind of whatever thinness or whatnot and everything else. But when you hit, say this was a glass, and you hit it like this, like, or if you take like a fork or something, right, and you hit the glass, it makes a sound, doesn't it? Like, ding! Right?
Yes.
Is that true?
True. Yes.
Have you ever tried it?
Yes.
Alright, so you hear that sound, and then, so the theory is that sound has a certain frequency, so it has a certain pitch, let's put it this way, that's easier to understand, alright? And, you know what pitch is, right? Not like a feel or anything, it's like pitch, like
right? That people, right? Okay.
Yeah. So, and if someone with a strong voice can match the same frequency of that glass, it will break. Have you ever seen, like, you know, like a soprano going, wah, and then the glass goes everywhere, you know? Well, that's where the theory, that's where the idea is from. I can't tell you whether that all the glass and everything, whether that's real. I think that's overrated. But the theory is that if you take a glass, and I think, if you do the same thing close to it, and if it matches and there's enough strength, the glass will shatter. Okay, if you don't believe me, just look it up, okay? Or maybe scientists here, can you confirm? Is it true? So the scientists have said so. Yeah. All right, he has got my back here. So. And but I think this teaches us a... it really does. I think this teaches us something very spiritual here. You know, there's a frequency in heaven. If we can hit the same frequency, breakthroughs will happen. Is that right? So there's a frequency in heaven, and when we align our frequency and begin to hit the same frequency, whether it's the shout of the Lord, sometimes it's not just shout, sometimes it's in the form of singing, sometimes it's in the form of speaking, sometimes it's all in different aspects, you know, sometimes it's in the form of just, you know, doing something, you know, but as we align ourselves, we can hit something in the spirit and something will break open. Amen. So that's why it's important that when we talk about the shout of the Lord, we're connecting to a frequency from above. The shout of God must rise from within us. You see, Jesus in the book of Revelation, he says he's the Lamb of God and the Lion of the tribe of Judah, right? Now, a lion doesn't meow, right? A lion roars.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah.
So, here we have this picture of Jesus, the Lamb of God, this innocent lamb slain. You know, weak, like, you know, like no strength and helpless, and but being becoming the sacrifice of the world, and yet he's the Lamb of God and the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We see he's the Lamb as the sacrificial lamb for us, but we see him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, with authority and power.
Yeah.
And when he returns as king. He doesn't return as to offer salvation. Now is the time of salvation. Yeah. Now is the time. But when he returns, he comes back to judge as king. Yeah. Is that right? So, but the king comes with a roar, with a shout.
Yeah.
That's what a lion does. And so that gives us a picture of strength, of authority, and of power. So we have this both side of Jesus here as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the scriptures in 1 Peter tells us that he's raising us up, you know, as a royal priesthood, a kingdom of priests. Do you know that scripture? I think it's 2 Peter, or is it 1 Peter? 1 Peter, isn't it? Chapter 2. Let's go from verse 9 and 10. This is what it says. But you are a chosen generation. Not frozen, chosen. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. Okay? So God has chosen us to be royal, kingly, priests. He made us kings and priests in Revelation. Do you know that scripture in chapter 1? How he made us, with his blood, he made us kings and priests. Priests, kings and priests. Okay? And so, as he's the King of Kings, and he's making us to be kings, like he is. But he's the King of Kings, of course, right? We're not taking his place. But the same role that's within Christ is the same role that will come out of us. Amen? Alright? So let the Word of God stir us this morning. Alright? Because the shout of God is a powerful weapon of warfare.
Yeah.
So I would encourage you, when we sing songs and things like that, really participate. Because we really want to go. You see, when you go to war, when you go to war, you go with soldiers. And when you go with soldiers, you want to have a team that's really going to go together. You don't go to war. The general doesn't go to war by himself, all alone. He must have his men trained and ready to go together. Amen? So as a church, that's what we want to do. We don't go alone for battles, but we go together. Alright. Number two. So that was the shout of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, I pray right now, let the roar of God rise from within us.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So that the voice of God will be louder than the voice of the enemy. How many people here have so many thoughts? Thoughts maybe they don't even want to think and just messes up their mind. But let the voice of God be louder than those thoughts. Let the thoughts of God be louder than... That's why the cry of God, let it rise from our spirit.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think I was sharing in prayer meeting on Friday. Let me say this one more time. Why is it that, you know, when we went to the conference, we heard pastors sharing testimonies of how God is using them and their church, and, you know, and how they're using, you know, the body of Christ all across the countries of the world, third world countries, and so on. Not necessarily third world countries, either the first world. And how God is using them powerfully in their nation. Alright? I think any here would know Pastor's nephew, Pastor Eddie, from Indonesia, how they're doing really, they are really being so influential and doing things for the Lord that's really making a big impact. And so, as they were sharing there, I asked myself the question, why is it that when they talk about what they do and the fact that they're doing what they're doing, what causes them to want to do that? And why do they talk about it with so much passion and so much zeal? And you know, as I was watching and just listening to the testimonies, I realized something. Some of these nations are so messed up and so corrupted that it affects family lives and the whole nation so badly that if no one stands up, the nation just goes in ruins. Like no one does anything, then everyone lives in decay, everyone lives in corruption, everything is just in lawlessness, everything is just a mess. But because there's such a cry in their heart, they see the need and they see that no one is doing anything. And so someone has to rise and make a difference. And when they come to a place, I realize, like, wow, they really see a need for the nation or whatever the cause that they do. They really see a reason for the cause or what they need to do. And so in the same manner this morning, I'm challenged in this area myself, okay? I'm not speaking this to you, but I'm challenging all of us here this morning that, you know, that surely God will arise in our hearts and in our lives so that we can see what He sees. Because as long as we don't see what He sees, we don't want to do... I mean, why do outreach? We can sit home and relax. It's hot. It's everything. You know, we don't have to, right? If you don't want to, no one will force anybody. But why would we want to? Because there's a cause. Because there are souls. Because people have not heard the gospel. Because someone needs to go. No one does. Someone needs to do it, right?
Yeah.
So the shout of the God must rise from our spirit man this morning. Amen?
Yeah.
Let the roar of God rise.
Yeah.
To see the need. To see the cause. To see the real need here. Amen?
Yeah.
Alright, let me quickly just jump to the next two here. So the first one is the shout of the Lord. Second one is the word of the Lord. You know the scriptures in Isaiah, how it says when His word goes forth, it does not return to Him empty or void, but it prospers in what He sends it for. And if we want to do anything, and I'm still learning this, if we want to do anything, we need to have the word of God. Without the word of God, you know, we may have great ambitions to do certain things, right? You have a great ambition to build this, to do this, to whatever you want to do, start a career, start a business. You want to do anything, right? But you see, if the Word of God is the Word that created all things, if the Word of God is Christ Himself, who is our everything, if Christ is everything that holds everything together, then without the Word, anything that we try to do, if it hasn't got the Word in it, it will not last. Does that make sense? Right? So that's why, when we want to do something, when we have something in our hearts, we have, you know, sometimes, you know, not every... I gotta think carefully how I say this. Not every opportunity is God's opportunity. But I'm not saying that we should sit back and do nothing, right? But I'm just saying discernment and knowing when God is saying go and when God is saying no, don't go. One of the things that that I've learned over the conference myself is this very specific thing, how a lot of times we know the prophetic word. A lot of times we know the vision. We know our destiny. Like if I call someone here, anybody here, okay, so what is our destiny? I'm sure you will have an answer, and I'm sure that answer will not be, I'm quite sure everyone stopped trying to be sound here, alright? But I'm sure your answer will have some substance to it. Alright? To that, you know, just that measure anyway, right? Right? Come and think a bit more high of yourself. Okay. But the thing is, sometimes we know, but we don't know how to do it. Right? So, what is the vision of this house? Okay, Antioch Church, you know, don't allow the four spirits that was in Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem, to come into it. And so it's Antioch was a place of training, and people were sent out and people came in. And so, yeah, okay, this is a vision God has given Evangel. But then, that's a vision. I know it. I can speak it. I can say it. But how do we do it? Right? And then that's the challenge. I want to read a scripture here in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Verse 32. So this is David's army at Hebron. And it says this in verse 32. Of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Their chiefs were, and so on and so forth. Right? But the key verse here, the key thing that I want you to see here is this first part that I read. The sons of Issachar, everybody said the sons of Issachar, who had understanding,
of the times,
to know what Israel ought to do. So they had an understanding of time. Everybody say time. So they understood. They understood time. But they didn't just understand time, they understood what to do. Right? So we can have prophetic words which speaks of, okay, it's timing, you know, it's a, you know, something, okay, yeah, we need to do this, we have an understanding of what it looks like or what it sounds like, right? But then the sons of Issachar knew what they ought to do. That's the challenge here this morning. There's a real challenge here, is this, that we actually know and ask God, what steps do we take? One of the things that our pastors always challenge us is after we hear a message or a sermon or something like a video or whatnot, they always ask us, so what are your steps of action? Don't tell me what you just learned, alright? Because everybody can just go, okay, yeah, we need to know the times and we need to know what we ought to do. But then they'll ask us, then what are you ought to do? What do you need to do? 1, 2, 3, give it to me now. And most of the time we're like scratching our heads and it's like, I don't know if you need to ask God really. I don't really know. Right? And so for the in the conference while we were there, it was very clear that we not only need to know the times, we not only need to be prophetic, but we need to know how to do it and how to get there. And that's something we really need in this hour. We need the word, not just the understanding of the word, but the how to. Amen? Amen?
Amen. Amen.
The word will validate everything that we do, if we have the word, if we go with the word, if the word saves us. Alright? We're not... The word of God. You know, one thing for me personally is when I make the choice to quit my full-time job and enter into quote-unquote full-time ministry, whatever you want to call it. You know, I for a bit I struggled with the thought. You know, I knew I wanted to do it for sure. There's no doubt about it. But I wrestled a little bit about the timing. When should I do it? When is the right time? What about finance? What about job? What about career? What about all of that? And there's a lot to think about. And so to be spiritual and say, "Oh, it was so easy. Yeah, man, the Lord spoke to me," and I just, you know what? I would be lying to you. Okay, I didn't struggle to the point I couldn't sleep, but it was serious. It was like, hang on, I really want to know, because it would bother me if I went into it and I wasn't sure. You know, if I was still doubting, I wouldn't want to do that, right? So even though the door was open for me to do that, I still, in my mind, I was like I need to know, like, this is it, you know? And so, but I gave myself 3 years, 3 years ago, but now 3 years came and I was still like, okay, maybe, is this still the right time? And so I woke up, I think, I don't know if you know the story, but I woke up one morning and I had these words in my mind, set a time. And I wasn't quite sure what it actually meant to me anyway at that point in time. You know, it was just set a time. Set a time for what? You know, I have no idea. But I just said, okay, yeah, well, you know, maybe I was trying to figure out, okay, set a time, I was trying to figure it out and things like that. But I just sort of leave it aside for a moment. Then in that very same week, I was hearing a message, and from this message, that scripture that I just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 32 was spoken, in that not only the sons of Issachar knew the time, but they knew what they ought to do. Now, others would have probably heard that verse as well, but for me at that point in time, that very moment, everything just clicked to me. You know, the word, when I woke up, and that was right in my mind, right in my face, set a time. And here we look about knowing the times and knowing what they ought to do. I can't explain to you. There was something that just rose, like so much faith rose from my heart that was like, yes, this is it. This is it. And once I knew that this was it, you know, every, I don't know, you call it fears or anxiety. Things that you're anxious about, that you're thinking about, well, what about this, what about this? I can literally tell you it sort of left. Like, I wouldn't say I didn't care. In simple terms, I would say I couldn't care less. Whatever the outcome is. Like, literally, whatever the outcome is. Finance-wise, career-wise, doesn't matter. I was like, you know, because you see, in this moment of time, there are a lot of voices that are coming at you. You're like, okay, what if this happens? Then what do you do next? Like, you know, there's all kinds of what if this happens and what if that happens? And so there's a lot of voices coming at me. Well, do you know what I'm saying? But if the word of the Lord comes to me and says, okay, this is it, then I take that word. I don't take any other words. I hold on to it. And so because that word came to me, I could hold on to that. And I had the faith to say, yeah, I'm going to step into this. Not because I felt like I wanted to. Not because 3 years ago I said, oh yeah, I think I want to do this. But in that moment in time, it was literally, if it wasn't for that word, I don't think I could stand before you today saying that I am confidently, because the word came to me, that I'm actually entering into what I'm doing. I couldn't say that. And I thank God that He did, because I have confidence in what I'm doing now. Not because I thought, well, you know, it would be great to do this, it would be great to serve the Lord. I mean, it would be great. Anybody would be great to serve the Lord. But we want to serve the Lord because the word came to us. Because the word sent us. And that to me was very meaningful when that happened. Not long ago, actually. So, if we want to do anything, if we want to have the peace, we want to have the strength, the word must go forth. Amen?
Amen.
The last one I want to quickly touch is the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. I'm by no means trying to do an exposition on the shout of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, anything like that. I'm not. You know, you can do a lot of your own Bible studies and you will find a lot of nuggets there yourself. All I'm trying to do this morning is, I believe that in the spirit world, there's these things that are there that we need to lock onto. You know, so it's not a Bible study this morning, as you probably figured it out. But it's something that in the spirit we need to capture. The shout, the word, the voice. Because you see, we as Christians need to give a voice to the word. Is that right? How does anyone get saved except anyone preaches it to them, right? Unless someone brings the gospel. If we were to stay quiet, how do people get saved? They don't, right? So we have the Bible, we have the scriptures, this is the word of God. But yet, if we don't take the word and speak it to people, how can they get faith? How can faith come? Because faith comes by the word. But how does the word come? Right? The word must be spoken. The word must be said. Something must happen. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you think so?
Yes.
Right? I mean, how were you saved? Someone spoke to you. Someone shared with you. Or something. You heard maybe a preacher. Maybe you were in church. Maybe you were not in church. I don't know. But someone spoke to us. Someone gave us a message. It gave a voice to something. A voice came to, the voice of God came to us through whatever medium and spoke to us and caused something to happen from within. Right? So we need to give the word. So we can have the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, but the word must become a voice. And that's what John the Baptist was. He was a voice in the wilderness. In this season of time, God gives us such an opportunity to be a voice in what we're doing. Especially in this Christmas. Especially when, like Adrian was sharing this morning, it's such an open door. People are talking about Christmas. It's okay to sing about Christmas. Yes, it's about Christ. He rules and reigns in righteousness and everything. They're singing that. They don't believe it, but they sing it. Yeah. It's okay. But if you ask them to come to church and sing it, they want, in a different tune, same lyrics, they wouldn't sing it. But Christmas, they'll sing it. So we need to give a voice to the message. That simply means, when we receive the word, and if you really believe that this is what God is saying, then we need to start to sound it forth. We need to start to speak it. We need to send forth the word. We need to, like God sends His word and doesn't return forth. So we got to start speaking it until something happens. Because prophetically we receive that God will put words in our mouth and that will begin to make things happen, change things, right? It's the power to change lives. But the power to change that is to change life. So the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord has come to us. Now, I just want to read a quick verse from 1 Samuel. And I will conclude with this. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Okay, just read, just to make it not too long. So let's just read chapter 3, verse 21, and chapter 4, verse 1. Okay? All right. So in verse 21, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to who? Samuel. In Shiloh by the word of the Lord. All right? Are you with me? So the word came to Samuel, right? But see what happens next. Chapter 4, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to all Israel. So, what I'm trying to say here this morning is that, okay, we receive the word of the Lord. Right? Then, what happens next? The word of the Lord does in turn go forth. So, the word of the Lord must come. Okay, watch this. The word of the Lord came to Samuel, right? That word of God will work in his life, and that will become his word, because it's become part of him. Then the word of Samuel, it doesn't say the word of the Lord, but the word of Samuel is not just the word of Samuel, you just say, well, let's talk about ice kachang. No, it's something God has put in him, right? Does something in him, so that when the word of Samuel goes forth, it's the voice of God going to all Israel. Does that make sense? So there's an internal thing. That's why the power to change life is a power of a changed life. And so we ask God, okay, God, do something in my life so that my life can become a voice when I speak it. And so that's going to be our challenge this morning, to really ask God. We come here, I mean, I am very guilty of this, okay, and I have to admit this. We come here every Sunday. We write notes after notes after notes. Maybe some of you are super spiritual and you actually go back and review notes, but do we really go back and review our notes? How much do we do it? Okay, even if you don't review the notes, right, how many of us really take seriously? Okay, so like, okay, we believe this is the word of God, this is what God is speaking to us. Like, out of what I've heard, how does that actually apply to me and change me? I think if we did that more, we would be changed a lot more. I speak for myself first, okay? All right. And I think it's a challenge, because we always hear word, 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 but the word must become a voice. How does it become a voice? Until it changes me first. So how much of us take it seriously? Okay, this is the word of God. God is speaking. God is saying, okay, this is the step. Okay, then let me work with it. I just don't need to know. Now I need to know the steps of how to do it. And then how am I going to do it? So now I know what to do. I just don't know about it. I actually know it. Kind of. Does that make sense? I just don't know about the topic. I know the topic because I know what to do. I think that's a challenge that all of us have this morning. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Sound forth the prophetic word. Sound forth. Become a voice. Become a message. Begin to proclaim. Begin to speak. Because the word of God is not just near us. It's not just near our hearts. Don't just keep it here. Let it be in our mouth. Right? And speak it forth until something happens. This is the word of the Lord. Give it a voice. Amen? So we gotta speak. We gotta keep speaking. We gotta keep saying it. Because if it is God's word, then it won't return void. One last thought I'll send with you. I'll leave you with this. You see, for most of us, including myself, we know the Bible, we know the scriptures. In the church setting, we know how to speak God's word to everyone here. Alright? Do you know what I'm talking about, right? Just help me out here. We know how to do that very easily in a church setting, but we don't do it out there, right? Let's say, for example, we have a prophetic word, okay? I can remember this at least, okay? When I came back in June, is it June, whatever, July, whatever, one prophetic word for Australia that there will be healings in family relationships, right? How many of you remember this? That God is bringing restoration in families. Okay, it's okay. But it was one of those things, okay? And so if I believe that this is a prophetic word, how do I say to people out there in the world? I mean, if this is God speaking, if this is God speaking, right, is it just for the church? Now, I'm not trying to say to you that, you know, okay, I'm going to make it very clear. Do you know what I'm saying? So that means if God's word, prophetic word, is going forth, it's going to sound forth into all the earth. Whether you're a Christian, whether you're not a Christian, this is God's word and it needs to go forth. Does that make sense? And so my personal challenge as I've come back is to examine how I speak, how I talk. Not just in church, because it's much easier to do it in the church setting, but out there, I can share about Jesus. That's one thing. But how can I make known the prophetic word even to the non-Christians who would never want to know if we talked about it? How can I do it? And I think that to become a voice, I think God is giving us wisdom and understanding and revelation of how more and more we can start to do it. We can start to do it. So, just to give you an idea of what I was trying to accomplish yesterday as I was in Byford, as I concluded, and I said this, that 2018 be a better year, be a greater year with stronger families. Now, I didn't say, thus says the Lord from Pastor David from the conference in Wales, that there will be a restoration. I didn't say all that kind of stuff, right? Did I? But all I was trying to do, and I'm only sharing this to let you know how I'm trying to apply this in my own life, is this. I am still signing it forth to non-believers, whether they believe it or not, whether they're Christians or not. But I believe that this is the word of God, and they need to hear it too. And if that's God's word, it will go forth. It will touch their families. They'll get saved. Their lives will be turned around. And so all I said was, let next year be a year where we have stronger families, a stronger community, with better unity. You know, something like that. And all I was speaking is something that I know is what God has been saying about our nation. Because unity is one thing that God has been talking a lot about Australians and family restoration and a few other things as well. So all I was intending to do is to throw it out there to the people. That's it. So that I'm not only speaking the prophetic word to Christians, I'm hopefully being able to set it out, say it forth, sound forth the trumpet. When you sound the trumpet, even neighboring places will hear it, not just your house. Other houses will hear it. That's what we need to do. So, challenge is, how do I take God's word and how can I sound it forth more and more? Speak it. When you pray, speak it. When you sing, we speak it in songs. We speak it when we talk to one another, when we declare things. Ask the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I think this is very important for us in this season, this time. So, Father, we ask, Father, we praise you, we thank you, we ask of you right now that the shout of God rise from our hearts, the roar of God to rise from our spirit, the word of the Lord to come forth, to change us internally, and the voice of God to go forth like John the Baptist crying out in the wilderness, make way for the King. Let a company of people rise this morning from around this place to say, we make way for the King. We make way for the coming of the Lord, Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come upon us this morning, to give us insight so that not only we will know about the prophetic word, not only we will know what it looks like, what it sounds like, but you will give us insights how to do it. How? What are the steps? What can we do to outwork what God's work in us? So, Father, we thank you. Let this grace come upon us this morning so that our lives will be changed first, so that you can give us the power, the grace to change lives that are all around us, so that we can speak a word in faith and a word of grace that will begin to impart a life, resurrection life, to all those people that needs it in this hour. So we thank you. We proclaim your word that this is a year, 2018, starting from now, in fact, that you're raising up strategic men of stature. They're raising up in prophetic precision. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, and creating a people movement and begin to create significant moves in the spirit. I thank you right now. As I see, even in this Christmas season, even as we go on and it overlaps into the Easter season next year, I thank you, God, that you're going to raise up a people movement.
Yeah.
People's hearts are beginning to say, yes,
yes.
We will rise. We will rise.
Yes.
Our nation, our city, the city needs Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Let's rise as a united being.
Yes.
Let's rise up as a united body. Let the body of Christ begin to say, I'll put up my hand. Yes.
Yes.
Let's come together. Let's work together. Let's collaborate, because there are greater things yet to come that are ahead of us, and we can only do it when we are united.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We praise you and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.